Praise the Lord, church. Surely the Lord is in this house today. Amen. Amen. I'm so thankful to be here tonight, and thankful for our pastor, and I'm thankful for this church tonight, and to be surrounded by God's people. There is a lot of people that aren't here tonight, though. We are definitely blessed to be able to be here. There's a lot of people that are sick or recovering from surgeries or just for whatever reason they couldn't be here tonight. So we are definitely blessed to be in the house of the Lord tonight. There's definitely nowhere I'd rather be. And I'm thankful for the message that the Lord gave me tonight. I was given confirmation on Sunday when Pastor was preaching, and he talked about the anointed jawbone that Samson slayed the 1,000 Philistines with. And, you know, what God anoints is more than what you need to get through what you're going through. And I'll show you what I mean by that here in a little bit, but I want to jump right into scripture here tonight. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go with me to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. I have two scriptures I want to read. The first is in Genesis, and the second will be in Isaiah. But first, the book of Genesis. We're going to read in the 22nd chapter and the 14th verse. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14. When you get there, shout out amen. If you don't have your Bibles, the words are provided on the screen for you. And if you don't have a Bible, see one of us, see Pastor, see myself, and we will get you a Bible. We want a Bible in every home tonight. Book of Genesis, the 22nd chapter and the 14th verse. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the second passage of scripture is in the book of Isaiah. This is a very powerful passage of scripture. The book of Isaiah, the 52nd chapter and the 6th verse. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 6. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. And basically what he's saying is that they have to know my name before they can begin to know the power of my name. And church, tonight I want to talk about one of the many names of God that we see in the Old Testament that we give to the Lord. Tonight I want to talk about Jehovah Jireh. The title of my message tonight is Jireh, More Than Enough. Jireh, More Than Enough. Pastor, could you pray over this message tonight, please? Church, you may be seated, and our musicians may go down tonight. Church, tonight I want to talk to you about the name Jehovah Jireh. Now, while I was studying this week, I came across a story that I wanted to share with you. There was a couple that was asleep in their bed, and they awoke in the middle of the night to a gunman standing over them. And the gunman said, I want all of your jewels, all of your money, all of your valuables. So the man pointed to the closet and said, they're all in there. Go take what you want. And when the gunman was done collecting everything that he wanted, he went back to the bed and told the man and the woman that he had a tradition that he always killed the people that he stole from. But before he kills them, he always asks for their name. So he went to the woman and said, what is your name? And the woman said, my name is Elizabeth. And the gunman was startled a little bit, and he pondered for a second, and he said, "That's my mother's name." And he just couldn't find it in himself to kill the woman. So he went to the man, and he asked the man's name, and the man said, "Well, my name is Tom, but my friends call me Elizabeth." I'm glad a lot of you got that. I appreciate that. I was going to have to steal pastor's line. I think we got to lighten up a little bit in the house of the Lord. It's okay to laugh in church. So we have this name. And now here in Western culture, names, they don't carry as much significance. But you have to understand that in the Middle East, names carry a great significance. Literally, in the Middle East, when they name a child, it's supposed to show the potential of that child or the possible position that they want the child to become. And many times, they wouldn't even name the child for 8 days until the time of circumcision because they wanted to see the personality of the child. They wanted to give the child a name from the personality that they view. Now, the Hebrew name for God is Yahweh. And in English, it's the word Jehovah. It's over 6,800 times in your Bible. But how do you know when you see the word Yahweh if you don't read Hebrew, which I'm sure most of us don't? It would always be in caps. When you see Lord, it's caps, and it's literally the word Yahweh or the English word Jehovah. Self-existing one. And what I want you to understand is that Yahweh, Jehovah, has many compound names. And what I mean by a compound name is a name that's composed of two elements. It's kind of like if we mention salt. Salt is actually two poisons. It's sodium and chloride. It's compound. So as we study the names given to God, God has many compound names. And one of those names we are looking at tonight, Jehovah Jireh. It literally means the Lord will provide. And if you want to break it down further, the Latin root that we get for the word provide means to see ahead. We talked about this on Sunday as well. Before we need it, he sees it. Before we even ask for that need, the Lord already sees it. For every problem that you have, he's got a solution. For every task or everything that he has called you to do, he has already provided provision. He sees it. He goes before us. He is the Lord who provides. I read about a preacher named Tony Evans. Now, Tony Evans was going to give up early in his ministry. He was going to Bible college. He was preaching. And he was trying to provide for his family at the same time while going to college. And his wife said, "Tony, I'm going to need you to stop preaching and just provide for your family." And Tony said, "What would convince you that I should keep preaching?" And his wife said, "Honestly, Tony, $500. $500 would convince me." So Tony prayed, and the very next day, there was an envelope in their mailbox from a man named John. And there was a note that said, "I don't know why, but the Lord told me to do this." And in that envelope was five $100 bills. And when Tony's wife saw this, she said, "Preach on, Tony, preach on." Now, some people might say, "Brother Chris, do you have a problem with the story possibly being fabricated?" Church, I don't have any problem with the story. I don't have any problem with the story because I believe and I've seen and I've lived that he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides, the Lord that provides. Now, here's what I want you to see. This name, Jehovah Jireh, is the first compound name used of God, and it's only mentioned one time, and it's here in Genesis chapter 22 and 14. as we dive in here a little bit, how many know that we need the Word of God today? We need the Word of God today. We need to worship God like we just did, and then we need the Word of God today. You know, this isn't in my notes, but something Lexi said in her introduction got to me a little bit. When you're worshiping and you're more concerned with the song choice, or you're more concerned with who's singing it, you didn't truly worship. If you weren't focused on the praise, if you weren't focused on what you are saying to God and giving it all to Him, you didn't truly worship. And likewise, if you are listening to the Word and you're more concerned about who's giving the Word, it doesn't matter if they're a good speaker, it doesn't matter if they're a bad speaker, it doesn't matter if they're ugly or really good looking like me. The Word is what matters. Now, if you're taking notes, there's four things that I want you to see here about Jehovah Jireh. I don't know how many people still take notes, but if you are, there's four things that we're going to look at about Jehovah Jireh. And the first thing that I want you to see is the miracle births. The miracle births. Now, keep in mind, Abraham is 100 years old. Sarah is 90. Amen? And these are pre-supplement days. 100 years old and 90. And God gives them a baby. Believe what you want to believe, but it's a miracle. Believe what you want to believe, but it was a miracle. Now, there's a parallel in this story. Because there was a virgin, Mary, who God said is going to have a baby. And God is the father? There are people who are whispering and rumors are running wild. There's a woman who's not married, but she's going to have a child. She's a virgin from down in Nazareth. A virgin. She's going to marry a man named Joseph, but the baby's father is the Holy Ghost. It was a miracle birth. It was a parallel, and it was woven into the scripture. Now, God told Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a baby. And then 25 years later, they had the promised child. I want you to see the miracle births, but I also want you to see the message for life. And what is the message for life? Keep in mind, Abraham and Sarah are 190, and they have this boy named Isaac. And when he gets 20 years old, God says, I want you to take your son to Mount Moriah, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. Now, here's something amazing, church. Abraham had been following the Lord for a while now. He'd been following the Lord for almost 50 years at this point when God told him to do this. Now, here's something I want you to understand. If you live for the Lord, He's going to ask for your Isaac. If you live for the Lord, He's going to take you out of your comfort zone. And He does this because He wants you to look to Him and not to anything else or to anybody else. He wants to be the source for your life. But what's He going to do? Let me tell you, Levi, He's going to ask for your Isaac. He's going to ask for your Isaac. Let me tell you what He's done to me. He's asked for my Isaac. He's asked for my Isaac. He's asked for it because He wants to be my security. He wants to be my security, and He doesn't want anything else to be my security. Now look what Genesis chapter 22 and 9 says. It says, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now keep in mind, the wood is symbolic of the cross of Calvary. Now, I may not be too smart, church. I may not be the smartest person, but I'm smart enough to know that Abraham was 120 and Isaac was 20. And there's no way that the 120-year-old could manhandle the 20-year-old. You know what that tells me, church? That tells me that the 20-year-old said, no, daddy, I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to do this. Paul says in Philippians 2:8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He willingly gave his life for every one of us, church. So I see the miracle births. I see the message for life. But I see the meaningful death. I see the meaningful death. Look at Genesis 22:2. Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. Take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. Church, when I see that verse, I don't just see Genesis 22:2. I see John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you've ever been to Israel or you're familiar with Israel, you know where Solomon built his temple. And if you aren't familiar, according to 2 Chronicles 3:1, Mount Moriah is where Solomon built his temple. And Mount Moriah is where they offered up Old Testament sacrifices. And outside of the walls, just a little farther north, is Calvary. So when God told Abraham to sacrifice his son on Mount Moriah, he knew that it was in the same area that he was going to sacrifice his son for our sins. Now, how was Abraham able to do this? How was Abraham able to sacrifice his son? It's because he was guided by God's word. Abraham knew that God had promised him to bless his seed. And he said, God, you're telling me to sacrifice my son, and it doesn't make sense. But at your word, I'm going to obey you. Church, we need to learn to obey God, even when it doesn't make sense to us. And we need to leave the consequences to him. Obey God and leave the consequences to him. But what if it's not good? What if the consequences aren't good? Let me tell you something. If what you're doing right now is not good, if you obey God, then it will be good. It will be good. God said, all things work together for good to them that love God. If you obey God, then it will be good. So I see the miracle births. I see the message for life. I see the meaningful death. But I also see the miraculous resurrection. The miraculous resurrection. Now watch this. God said, Abraham, lay your son on the altar. As far as Abraham was concerned, that boy was dead. That boy was dead because God said, offer him. If God said it, as far as Abraham was concerned, Isaac was dead. It's kind of like when I was growing up. Everyone that knows me knows I'm a mama's boy. I love my mom. I miss my mom every day that she's not here, but she's still alive. I didn't want anyone to think she's not. She's just in New York, really far away. but my mom was always my biggest fan when it came to baseball. I played baseball my entire life. And she was at every baseball practice. She was at every game without fail. But one time I had a game when I was in Little League, and if you're familiar with baseball at all, it was for the Little League baseball tournament that they play in Williamsport. And she missed my game because she had something going on, and I played terrible, of course. And I wrote a note to her saying, Mom, if you were at my game, I would have done a lot better. And since that day, she promised never to miss another game. And she kept that promise. She also kept that note. She just found it the other day, she told me. She never lost that note. She kept that promise. If she said it, it was going to happen. Now get this down. When God said, Abraham, offer your son, Isaac was dead. Because if God said it, it's going to happen. Now what I want you to see is that there was never a plan B for the salvation of the world. I've had people ask me when they find out that I'm a Christian is if Jesus didn't die, was there ever a plan B? And Church, there was never a plan B for the salvation of the world. Revelation 13:8 says the cross was from the foundations of the earth. He knew that he was going in hanging on a cross. So I want you to understand this. In Abraham's heart and in God the Father's heart, the sons were dead. But I want you to see something here. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men. Church, nothing is coincidental in the Bible. Two of his young men. There was a thief on the left. There was a thief on the right. Two men that were beside Jesus on the cross. And clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Now watch this. Then on the third day. Come on, church. Then on the third day. I said, then on the third day. On the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Church, I thank God that there was a third day. I thank God that there was a third day. How long had Isaac been dead in Abraham's heart? He had been dead for 3 days, but then on the third day, he got resurrected. They buried Jesus in a borrowed tomb. Hell had a party. He arose triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. God provided provision. Amen. Now look in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 10. Genesis chapter 22, verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I knowest thou fearest God. God's going to ask for your Isaac. I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. The Lord provided a ram for his son. Lord, you provided a ram. You provided a lamb. Church, I'm so thankful the Lord provided a lamb for each and every one of us today. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as is said unto this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. What does Jireh mean? The Lord will provide. He sees ahead. Abraham felt that he was going to have to kill his son. But Brother Chris, how do you know that? How do you know that Abraham thought that he was going to have to kill his son? I know from Genesis 22, verse 5, he said, we are going to go worship, but he said, and we will come again. Now, I might have just confused you. We're going to worship, but he said, we will come again. Now, I might be confusing you. You're telling me he felt like he was going to kill his son, but he also felt like he and the son were going to come back again. That's an oxymoron. That's two things that shouldn't go together. That's jumbo shrimp or crash landing or Colts football. Two things that shouldn't go together. It doesn't make sense. But it does make sense. Because you have to put scripture together. Look what Hebrews tells us. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Church, what did Abraham believe? He believed he was going to kill his son, but he believed that God was going to resurrect him up. He believed he was going to slay his son, but God was going to immediately resurrect him up. Now God showed me something these past few weeks of studying that I've never noticed before. And I'm coming to a close if the musicians want to come. He showed me something that I never seen before. You see, when Abraham saw that ram, he rejoiced in the provision that God had provided for his son. When he saw the ram, he rejoiced in the provision that God provided for his son. But Moriah, his rejoicing went deeper. His rejoicing went deeper. Look what John says in chapter 8. John chapter 8 in verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Now, I had them put this verse on the board because those words are in red. This is Jesus saying these words. This is Jesus saying these words. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. He saw the ram and rejoiced that God had made provision for Isaac, but he saw the ram and he saw Jesus. And he rejoiced that God provided provision for him, and he provided provision for me and you, and God provided provision for every single one of us. Because church, he is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Jireh. Stand with me all over this house tonight. He is the Lord who provides. He sees ahead. Church, we have to start living by Philippians 4 and 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I want to do something a little bit different tonight, if that's all right. I know that every single one of us have needs here tonight. Maybe different needs from each other, but we all have needs here tonight. Those needs may be relational. They may be emotional or financially, or they might be physical needs. But I want you to think about what you need. I want you to think about what you need right now. Then I want you to ask the question, can God give me that need? Can God give me that need? And when we ask that, I believe that God would respond with Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If you ask if God can give you what you need, church, he's going to say, I've already given you the hardest thing I could have given 2,000 years ago. So there's nothing that you can ask for that I can't provide. Church, he is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. And if you believe that tonight, I want you to come to the front of this church and I want you to present your needs to him. Because he is Jehovah Jireh. And if you believe that he is Jehovah Jireh, let's show him that belief tonight. Think about what you need. Ask him and realize that he's going to provide for you, church.